We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
505 DGS. Happy Tuesday to you. Woo! It's dark out there. It's going to take me a while to get used to this.
Sure is.
Blustery. I'm not going to go into the whole, like, daylight savings. Like, what would time would it be worth? But in general, would you guys sign on to just not changing? Just keep it?
Wait, keep it this way or the other way?
I think it's the other way.
I don't know because I don't know the ramifications. And I don't know how much light would we really have now. Would it just be one more hour?
Okay, I lied. Let's do it. So we went backwards.
Good, my dad wanted
so
us
right
to talk
now
about
it would be 6:05.
Okay, yeah.
Wait,
that doesn't make any sense. So this is good then.
Well, we have less light at night.
Wait. It would be 6:05.
The sun would come up at...
It'd be a little darker in the morning, but it would be lighter for an hour longer at night.
I honestly like the change because I think it's exciting.
Oh, you like the dark.
I like the dark. I like getting that extra hour of sleep.
Yeah.
I hate when we lose the hour, but okay. I don't mind the change.
Now that I understand a little better because I'm dumb and sometimes it's hard for me to work out that kind of stuff in my brain.
Me too.
I would like to stay. I like the extra light at night.
Also, it's really pretty outside right now. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Okay, so you want it to be dark.
I don't really like the dark. This didn't used to bother me up until a couple of years ago, the whole getting dark earlier thing and, you know, driving home in the pitch dark for like 6 months out of the year really did start to get to me. But, like, you know, I just look at it. It's a nice like sunset out there right now. I wish it was coming a bit later than 5 o'clock p.m.
All right, but if we stayed the way we were, we'd be off work by now. Because, like Dave said, it'd be 6.
Yeah. But I was going to say, well, it's not time travel.
The whole reason they started it, right, is to keep it light so people would shop more because people spend more money when it's light
I've
out.
I've heard a million things.
Well, that was one of the reasons.
That sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Which is not even valid anymore. I've literally heard candle wax back like the Ben Franklin days.
I've heard farmers. I heard
staying light so people spend more money and shop.
I feel so stupid, but I don't want to keep asking questions and wasting our listeners' time. I'm confused. Wouldn't it be to not change the time so it's light later in the evening?
I think they're saving it in the morning.
No one's shopping in the morning. They're shopping at night when they get off of work.
I've also heard it's for kids at the bus stop.
I don't have kids.
Yeah,
Dave.
So screw them. Yeah. My kid drives. Whatever.
It was used to save energy and make better use of daylight.
Duh.
That's a pretty generic term, though. Make better use. Hey, why do you do daylight savings? To make better use of daylight.
I do better.
Duh.
All right. Mike says he knows all about it. Mike must get laid like carpet. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, all the time. Hey, guys. So my great-grandfather, now this is going back quite a ways, obviously, he stated that it was originally designed for the farming industry so that they had more hours to bring in the crops at the, you know, during harvest. Now, my thing with that is, well, if that was the case, why not just get up a little earlier?
Right.
Yeah, screw you, Grandpa.
But that's what the old timer said. And my thought process was, why don't you just get up earlier when the sun comes up? So you normally do anyway.
Are we in weird time now? Like, is this the weird time? Or did we just come out of the weird time? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, I understand what you're saying. And I think, my opinion, I think this is the weird time. I don't know. I don't agree with it. I think it should just be whatever it has been for, you know, thousands of years and let it go.
I'm with you.
You know, we all managed that long.
Thank you, Mike. I liked Mike, but he didn't know that much about daylight savings time. It was falsely, he falsely advertised himself.
I can tell you everything you need
all right,
to know.
Here's something from 1784 when Benjamin Franklin proposed it to align waking hours.
Oh, let's hear what the misogynist has to say about the sun going down at a certain time or whatever.
He wanted to align waking hours to daylight hours to conserve candles.
There you go.
All right.
Told you.
It's all about the almighty dollar, eh, Ben? I don't know.
You're really trying over there. I respect it.
A lot of girlfriends in France.
Thanks for the womanizer.
Well.
How'd he get so many women?
I think he was smart.
Pickings, I think pickings were slim.
Were they?
Trish is looking at a $100 bill like, hey, you're hot.
I think pickings were slimmer back then. Yeah, I think you didn't have like the easy access.
I've never ever heard someone say pickings were slimmer.
Pickings were slimmer.
He tied that key to a kite and the ladies were like,
you know, he didn't invent electricity, so.
He did. Yeah, I guess he invented it. I almost said he discovered it. I mean, I guess he discovered how to utilize it.
He didn't invent it.
He invented light bulbs. He discovered.
That was Thomas Edison.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm thinking of.
We are making people dumber.
Yeah, let's change the set. Let's do headlines. We can do headlines.
Do it.
News of the day.
I haven't said a word.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Save time at the deli counter by ordering your meats and cheeses ahead of time on the Schnucks Rewards app.
He made the cotton gin.
He invented the telephone. Everybody knows that about Ben Franklin.
All right. The CDC says that all adults should get a booster shot. Up until now, it was just like, hey, guys, if you're over 18, it's fun to get one. Mm-hmm. Now, with the Omicron variant looming on the horizon, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky has urged all U.S. adults to get the COVID-19 booster.
So I know that fully vaccinated is a thing, and maybe it's a real thing for like going into a bar or something or, you know, a concert. But we're not to the point yet where fully vaccinated means the booster, correct?
Not officially.
Okay.
But I'm sure
that's
coming.
We're going to get there pretty soon.
And here's my question, too. Since we had J&J, and Rachel and I did, and now they're saying we got our booster, but they're saying it should have been two shots all along. So do we need another one?
I think you guys are just at two. Like, I'm at three. Right.
Yeah. So are we just at two and now we need another one? But
yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. But it does seem if we had 66%. efficacy and Dave had 98 and then we both got a booster to get us up another percentage, like we're still behind Dave. So,
and the most annoying thing about Omicron now is since it came out, all the different headlines when again we don't know anything about it yet.
Just say that.
Right. I mean, it's like the vaccines won't work, the vaccines will work. It's more mutations, it's not as severe. It's
can I make a confession? I'm way too proud of the fact that I don't flinch when I get a shot.
Yeah.
I feel like the nurse should go like, damn, brother.
Yeah. Well, she should be impressed.
Like, look at this guy. Mm-hmm. He should be the model for all.
The bald guy with like tattoos is sitting there.
He's not scared.
His ripped jeans. And she's like, you big boy.
But then I told you guys, because I got two shots, one on each arm. And then I went to take my bath and I realized, oh, I got to take my Band-Aids off. So I soaped them up real good. Like I was five. And I was like, like for real, like. I just got a 6-hour tattoo and I didn't flinch, but the Band-Aids, I'm like, ugh.
They're making Band-Aids out of stronger stuff now because I have not been able to wash mine off easily lately. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like,
you get a lot of them?
I've worn a couple in the past, you know, 6 months.
He has ouchies like everyone else. He cut himself shaving his legs.
Aside from the shot, I can't tell you the last time I had a Band-Aid on. For real.
Not when you cut yourself shaving?
I have not done that in years.
I guess I'm just clumsy.
Years.
I'm like losing a quart of blood.
Do like you guys, every girl I've ever known had that, oh, this bothers me. The thing on their shin, like you're like a scar, maybe an inch long.
Oh, yeah.
Yay wide. Because like a hole, like a potato peeler.
Yeah, actually, when I was younger. Yeah.
Oof.
I'll look for it later.
That's scary
can't get
stuff.
My jeans up.
All right. Remember the Houston man who got $1.6 million in PPP funds, who bought the Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. He got a Rolex watch. He went to the strip club. Well, he has been sentenced to over 9 years in prison.
Wow. Good.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. I hope it was worth it.
You hear about stuff like that, and I don't know about you guys, but I just assumed nothing was going to happen to him when I found out about the Lamborghini.
Yep. COVID. You know what I love? I love that in the last segment or maybe two segments ago, Andrew was like, look, I was a little ginger fluid when I was a kid, and I liked the easy bake oven and the whole thing. And she's so patient. And Rach sat on, and then she's like, well, maybe he cut himself shaving his legs.
Oh, no, it wasn't because of that.
I like to think it was. I thought it was funnier.
I just thought it was a funny joke because he mostly, I mean, I don't know if Andrew shaves his legs or not, but I figured most likely he does not.
I put them together in my head, and it was hilarious.
I could try it.
Okay, so since we're on that topic, I always see articles and stuff that are like, ladies, why do we... Like, look, guys, I'm a feminist, I believe. And by that, I just mean women are equal to men. We can do most of the things you guys can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, whenever it gets into the territory where people are like, why do we even shave? Society tells us to. I don't know. I feel like it's pretty easy. Like, yeah. You like to look pretty and fresh. I'm not saying you can't look and feel that way if you don't shave, but a lot of women just like that aesthetic. Like, it's not that much deeper.
I don't want hairy legs.
Not every tradition.
Right. Or I don't want a hairy armpit.
It's
right.
Bad. Not every tradition is bad.
Yeah.
And like, you don't have to do it.
Right. We've come to think, like, we've equated in this country that anything that's tradition or tradition all is bad, and it's because men or white people or whatever. Like, no, sometimes it's just like a thing that people like to do. Shut up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's true that like it's an agenda or something for more than a small group of people. But when it comes to something like shaving, if you're trying to tell me that I'm oppressed by the patriarchy because I shave my legs, okay, maybe it started as that. Maybe women should have never started doing it in the first place. But it's happening now, and I would rather do it than not do it. So shut up.
Well, look at things. I saw a lot of people on Thanksgiving posting about, like, you know, oh.
Shaving their legs.
Shaving their legs. Thanksgiving started under questionable auspices, obviously, with the Native Americans and everything. But that's not what it's about now. Thanksgiving, as a tradition, has evolved. We're not celebrating the abuse and genocide of Native Americans. We're celebrating our families at this point.
Yeah. I had a dumb question.
It has changed.
Let's hear it, Dave.
Thanksgiving is just so huge, but it's an American holiday. Do people abroad do it as well? Do they just grab it and go, that looks awesome?
I know Canada does it, but they do it in October, and I don't necessarily know what it means for
them. I don't
think
other countries do it. I think it's like it's a pretty uniquely American thing. Primarily
they're missing
because...
out. It's a good one.
Oh, it's a good one. It's one of the best ones.
Flat Cyber Monday sales. So I told
I'm
you guys yesterday.
By that. I thought it'd be up since everybody's buying online, you know?
Well, experts are pointing to lackluster deals and shipping woes. I will say shipping situation makes me second guess ordering stuff nowadays.
Yeah.
I've actually, okay, so I live in the city, so a lot of times I have stuff shipped to work. Because I don't want it sitting out on my porch and possibly getting stolen. I'm kind of back to shipping it to my apartment because it's such like a hazard trying to get it into the door here at work sometimes with Amazon and stuff.
Also, may I make a correction? Remember back a month or 6 weeks ago when I used Target.com and they use shipped with a T?
Yeah, and you were mad at
them. And I was so mad because the lady showed up at 12:45 a.m. and she brought all the wrong stuff. And I really went in on both of them. And someone who worked for Shipt reached out and said, hey, we're not all like that. Give us another chance. I did over the weekend. Got a bunch of, ornaments and things like that. And Sophia was the young lady who helped me. Awesome. She texted me. She's like, hey, they don't have the ornaments you wanted. What about these? And we had like a real conversation. Okay. I'm like, what about those? She's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that for you.
Now they're getting married.
Well, I'd like y'all to meet Sophia. But she was great.
Never had a better friend.
And so
she knows everything I like.
I do a lot of bitching on this show. And I sometimes don't think about how much power I have. And I just wanted to make that right and say that at least Sophia, we're 50-50. Because she was as good as the other lady was bad.
That's great.
You want to take a break? And then I can do the rest of my headlines after
said break. I would love that. 523 DGS. So Harvesttown Auto Body, they're good friends of mine, great family. And I don't know, maybe a year ago, they said, hey, Dave, I know we pay you for 60-second lives, but we have this goofy little jingle we did like in the 90s. And it's 15 seconds. We're thinking about putting that in. And I'm like, yeah, knock yourself out. But I was thinking, it's better money to let me talk for 15 seconds. And I just went in the bathroom like, well, you're kind of been wrecked.
What do you do?
Like, it's
gotta fix
catchy
right.
As hell.
Good as new. Harvest Town.
They take the dent out of accidents.
Why'd you stop?
You did it like, down.
You did like Marilyn
Our
Monroe.
You could have been wrecked.
You going to do some headlines? You're going to do your headlines.
I can just quickly finish my headlines.
Okay.
Tiger Woods says his days of being a full-time golfer are over. You know, he had that big accident. So kind of figured. I was just wondering about him the other day. It's kind of weird that that story came out.
That's how he's doing.
Yeah.
He's had a rough, what, 5-10 years?
Yeah.
But
the Tiger documentary on HBO was super interesting, and it happened before the accident. This guy's had a life of ups and downs.
Yeah. But his downs, it's hard to feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Like, even this last one, the dude's driving 100 miles an hour through a residential neighborhood. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
I know, but preventable.
It's sad because you're the best at what you do. You could have anything in the world, but he's got demons.
Yeah, he's self-sabotaging. Final headline here. It's, of course, Giving Tuesday, the holiday of radical generosity. We implore you to please stop by any area Hardee's and make a donation to Operation Food Search. Just a dollar gets you the DGS holiday sticker. You can donate more if you want. We really like doing this with Hardee's because not only do you donate, you're in very quick access to some awesome food, too. And then also, I'm working with St. Patrick's Center this year to help out unhoused folks in our community, particularly downtown St. Louis. I'm going to talk to CEO Tony D'Agostino next. And you can go to stpatrickcenter.org/KMOX to make a donation to St. Pat's. Trish, take it away.
This isn't Rachel's headlines. This is just headlines I saw about this because I clicked on this story from this prep service we have about the White House Christmas theme, and it gives like the stats. It's called Gifts from the Heart. And Dr. Jill Biden decorated it for nurses, doctors, teachers, grocery store workers, police officers, firefighters, truck drivers, warehouse workers, anyone who worked during the pandemic. So then you scroll down and there's all these links to all these articles where you can find more about it. First headline is Jill Biden's White House holiday decorations are refreshingly not terrifying. The second one, I miss Melania. Jill Biden unveils horrible Christmas decorations for White House. And it just keeps going.
Yeah.
I mean, conservative journalist demands liberals apologize to Melania after seeing Jill Biden's Christmas decor. It's White House Christmas decorations, people.
I always thought that
making me crazy.
I kind of liked Melania's decorations. I never got how people were like, I'm literally crying and scared right now.
Because like, they were saying it looked like Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, but it was like, look, she lives in New York City. This is probably what all the rich wives decorate their penthouses like. Like, I thought it was kind of cool.
We will fight about anything.
We will.
My only input is I saw 2 seconds of it, and I saw that they had those Mark Close, Dave Murray, Central Hardware lights on the ceiling, and I was like, that's a bit hoosh for the White House.
Yeah. A bit hoosh.
Yeah, it's the Bidens. What do you expect? Gotta hoosh it up a little bit.
Mm.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
No, I saw another one that was...
It was all the deadlines. Like, one was for, one was against, of course.
I saw one that was like, Melania Trump's headlines had us all shaking in fear. Jill Biden's decorations will have you wishing for her back. Like, it was that dramatic.
Man, we suck.
I know. I also hate it whenever someone demands an apology on behalf of someone else. Just stop. We have enough drama in this world. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Dave Glover Show. I'm Rachel Zimmerman, taking over for a little bit here to talk to Anthony D'Agostino, the CEO of St. Patrick's Center here in downtown St. Louis. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel.
So you guys hear us talk on the DGS all the time about the unhoused, homeless population in downtown St. Louis, and you'll often hear us reference St. Patrick's Center too. You guys are really on the front lines helping unhoused people on a day-to-day basis, whether it's your warming centers or the hot meals that you give out every day. So St. Patrick's Center has been around since 1983. You want to give us a little history of the center and what it's meant to downtown St. Louis?
Yeah, actually, thanks for asking. We had, back in 1983, you mentioned, there was a lady named Edith Cunane, and she was downtown, and she actually, as the story goes, she saw some individuals, and it was really cold out, and they had nowhere to go. They were kind of huddled around trying to keep warm, and she decided to approach them and ask what was going on, like, why are you in this situation? What's, you know, how can I help? And they basically kind of looked at her and said, well, who would ever accept a group like us? And she said, well, basically in her head, I'm going to. So she decided to create St. Patrick's Center. It was down on Biddle where the St. Patrick's Center Church or St. Patrick's Church was. So that's why it got the name St. Patrick's Center. And since then, almost 40 years later, we've had many iterations. We've grown to fit the needs of clients mm-hmm. in the community. And the idea, it's based on human dignity, that everyone is a human being. They deserve love and respect and acceptance within the community. And so we try to offer services that support them and their individual needs. And as we all know, we're all very complicated human beings. And so needs are complex. And we have dozens of different programs that fit the needs of the different groups of people who are coming through the door every day needing our help.
Yeah, so not one size fits all. It's according to the individual. So I know the big push for the holiday season for you guys is to keep people home for the holidays. Housing First is the initiative that St. Patrick's Center is really into. So you not only help unhoused folks, but you're also helping intervene with people who are on the verge of becoming homeless. Can you kind of explain to the listeners what you do there?
Yeah. So unfortunately, that is the largest growing segment of people that we serve. And those are individuals who are currently housed, but they're near homelessness, which we think is, you know, basically within the next maybe around 4 months, they could become homeless because they'll lose their job, they'll lose their home, they're maybe couch surfing, they're with family relatives, and they can't stay there long term. So for most of the people listening, for myself, I have a sustainable housing situation. I'm not going to be losing it anytime soon, or at least I don't foresee it. But mm-hmm. a lot of people do see it coming, and we're trying to be preventative. How do we make sure that those individuals don't become homeless? How do we work with them preemptively? And so that's unfortunately the largest growing segment of or the group of population that we work with right now. COVID has really exacerbated the problem when it comes to homelessness prevention. And I mean, we got to start there, right? I mean, we can't let people move into homelessness. We got to do, you know, the both and work with individuals who are literally homeless and then work with individuals who are close and make sure we're hitting it from both ends. Mm.
So speaking of COVID, how did St. Patrick's Center handle? I mean, I always think back to like March of 2020 when the lockdown started and no one was leaving their homes. Well, what do you do when you're in that situation and you don't have a home?
Yeah, that was interesting for me when like everyone we got this new term, which was shelter in place. Mm-hmm. And we internally at St. Patrick's Center were like, well, how do you shelter in place right. when you don't have a place to shelter? And that was a big worry. I'm trying, Rachel, these last 20 months to be hopeful. So I'm going to try to put that positive spin. We thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was.
OK.
We thought that the infection of COVID was going to spread, and we are dealing with individuals who don't have a home, and they oftentimes have to congregate outside, and it's not always the sanitary conditions. And we remember at the beginning, like, everyone was keeping their Amazon packages outside mm-hmm. for 3 weeks because we thought, like, any little touch of anything could spread it, and we didn't know. And so we really thought it was going to devastate the community and the population of people we serve. And it didn't as bad as we had originally thought. So that was great. But there's still this huge need. And the individuals we serve and work with, oftentimes I tell people they have the same issues that they had pre-COVID. Now they're just, it's just more severe. So affordable housing is harder to come by. There's, you know, everyone knows this, like housing prices have gone crazy. Rent's gone up. Healthcare is oftentimes hard to find and come around to. Mental health and substance abuse has gone up. Substance abuse, I know I just read the other day that just earlier this month, we reached over 100,000 individuals died from overdose in this country. And St. Louis and Missouri, you know, we have our fair share. So it's just a worry that this continues to become a problem. And we're trying to react to that by giving the services, by having those available and those resources and partnering to make sure that people can get help.
So, okay, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. We keep hearing about this $790 million that mm-hmm. we're getting from Kroenke, all that stuff. Last time you were on the show with me and Dave, yeah. you were saying, like, look, money doesn't help everything, but it fixes a lot when it comes to yeah. the unhoused population. I mean, are we hopeful that perhaps St. Patrick's Center would get a little chunk of that? And what would, I mean, how much would a $1 million, $2 million grant help your organization?
I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'll give you a tangible example. There's a building that we're trying to acquire right now. It has almost 100 units. And if we could get that, it's probably a $3.5, maybe $4 million deal. So $4 million, 100 units. And that's not just tomorrow having that for clients and for individuals who need housing. That's sustainable, right? I mean, that's we can build a model where we have that and continue to transition people into more permanent solutions as we transition them out of this 100-unit building. And those are the kind of things we need. We need to non-profitize affordable housing, at least some of it, in the city, and make sure it's sustainable long-term. If you create capital around, like, you know, we live in a capital market, it's great for most things, but for some things, we need to make sure that capital is not the only reason that people have it. I can't tell you how many units we lose because a landlord right now wants to sell the building or wants to raise rent. Well, that doesn't work for our clients. But I understand why the landlord or the developer wants to do that. They're in it for money. Like, that's their living. So we just need to figure those things out. And I think that money could help that in a sustainable way.
Tell us about your end of year campaign, Christmas wishes, home for the holidays.
Yeah. So speaking of money, we're always in need of it because we're growing our services to help more people. There's a new study that came out that said within the next 4 years, the estimate is that 49%, the homeless population will increase by 49% in the next 4 years. That is a scary number to us. We need to continue to find sources of funding. You know, Home for the Holidays is like it sounds around the Christmas time when we're all celebrating around family and friends and, you know, warm within our homes. And they say December might be one of the coldest winters we've had in a decade. We want to make sure that we have shelter and homes for the individuals we serve in the St. Louis community. And so we're asking people to give. We're asking people to, if they can't give or if they want to get involved in addition to giving, contact us, come down, volunteer. Time well spent would be great at the St. Patrick's Center around the holidays. We have a lot of opportunities. Or give other things, tangible items, household items, clothing, a lot of opportunities. So, you know, please contact us and get involved.
So you can go to stpatrickcenter.org/KMOX to make a donation. The reason Tony's on today, or Anthony, excuse me, is on today versus, you know, Wednesday or Thursday is today is Giving Tuesday. And we want people to radically donate to different charities. Right now, as I understand, you guys are doing there's a $25,000 donation match going on today through an organization. So if people go out, if you donate even as little as $5, another $5 is coming in.
Yes. $5 is great. $5,000.
That's even better.
But yeah, anything you can give is being matched. We have some generous donations and donors that are matching that money. So please give as much as you can. And like I said, you can always contact myself. Go to the website. I'm on there. So is Amanda, Kevin, a bunch of our other people inside the organization. It's fantastic. And I also wanted to say thank you to all the people listening who have been involved. There have been so many people, you know, you, Rachel, everyone who has given and give time and support to St. Patrick's Center over the years. It's been almost 4 decades, and we wouldn't be here without that. So thank you.
That's very sweet. One more thing before we go. I wanted to bring this up. I was looking at the website earlier today, and I saw that on your guys' board, you have a former client. So someone who came to St. Patrick's Center for services ended up on the board. I mean, I really can't think of a better success story than that. And it just shows why you guys work. I love the holistic approach of like, look, it's not just we give them a little bundle of stuff and send them on their way. It's working with each individual. So St. Patrick's Center is a local organization that cares about our local folks and wants to help. We're complaining about downtown St. Louis on the show all the time. St. Patrick's Center is one of those places that's really helping making it a better place. So thank you, Anthony, for coming in. Again, that website is stpatrickcenter.org/KMOX. Please make a donation today. I'm going to go make my donation right now. And it's being matched up to $25,000.
So, Anthony, yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well said. I appreciate you having us in. Have a great holiday, everybody.
You too. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right, guys. Right back. It's the Dave Glover Show on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.